Great job. Thank these actors and performers and dancers. And you guys did a great job. We appreciate you. And he's trying to get away from the smoke. I'm glad you got your mask on. You may be seated as these children go back to their seats. Aaron, would you and Don help me just a second? Let's put this down on the ground. Just lay it flat down so they can see the screens. Just lay it flat down right there. Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate it. Carolyn put that together, made the costumes, picked out the music, her and Butch, and that was their daughter playing Mary. Carrie, that was great. We appreciate you all doing all that. Get your Bibles out if you would. I promise not to keep you very long. Just want to encourage you that the resurrection was a revolution. No help in the house this morning. The resurrection was a revolution. And I understand you may not know what that means yet, but you will know what that means before you leave the building today, and you will understand that you are a part of a revolution as well. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 4th chapter. I would encourage you to read several verses before Romans 4:25 when you get home this afternoon or later in today, but we're going to read from the Mirror Translation. It'll be on the screen, verse 25 from Romans, the 4th chapter. Listen to these words as Paul writes, "Our sins resulted in his death. His resurrection is proof of our righteousness." Here's the equation. He was handed over because of our fallen mindset. I love that. He was handed over because of our fallen mindset, because what literally took place in the garden when Adam and Eve made the decision to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is that their mindset fell from their identity as sons and daughters in a relationship with their master, their father, into a state of being ashamed of who they were. It was a case of mistaken identity because they ate from the wrong tree. And their mindset was fallen. Do you know that Deuteronomy goes on to say that we have never been enemies of God, only in our own minds? So the mindset was fallen from that which Adam and Eve had in the beginning, that they were a creation of God. And when God looked at them, he said, "You are very good." And he's never changed his mind about his creation. You are still very good. I got two people that believe they're really good this morning. He was raised because we were declared righteous. The declaration that God the Father makes over you this morning because of the resurrection is that you are righteous. Look to your left and look to your right, and you may know every sin about the person on the other side of you, and they still are righteous in the sight of God. That's a miracle. And it's all because of the resurrection. His resurrection is the official receipt to our acquittal. This is probably one of the most important scriptures, statements in all of Scripture here, that the cross equaled our sins, but his resurrection equals our innocence. You stand before God righteous, in right standing with the Father, and innocent because you have a receipt. Isn't it much greater to have a receipt instead of an invoice? Can I get any help? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because if I give you an invoice, Fred, what that invoice states is what you owe. But if I give you a receipt, what that receipt states is what has been paid for. Can you hear me talking to you this morning? I am glad that I have a receipt of my acquittal and not an invoice for my sins. It's a revolution. Wouldn't you rather have that receipt? I sure would. And I'm glad that I do this morning. Jesus is heaven's hero. He's earth's emancipator. And the resurrection represents the beginning of a revolution in a world where sin is being sanctioned, where evil is an epidemic. and where injustices and inequalities are being institutionalized. I mean, we're living in a world that calls evil good and good evil. But I'm glad because of the resurrection that I stand in right standing with the Lord, and what we're called to do, our evangelistic method is not to tell people how lost they are, but rather to tell them how loved they are. And we as his followers now rejoice in the resurrection, do we not? Do we have anybody that's alive this morning in the building watching us on the internet that wants to rejoice in the resurrection? I'm going to start serving Red Bulls and Monsters when you come in the building on Sunday mornings to make sure you're alive before you hit the pews. I'm excited about the resurrection. I'm excited that he's alive. I posted this morning, he got up. I should have added to it that when he got up, I got up. Because his resurrection is my resurrection. His resurrection is your resurrection. And we rejoice in the resurrection and that it represents a revolution that we are a part of. It reassures us that wherever the accuser would want to put a period, that our liberator and Lord puts a comma, because your story's not over yet. The revolution continues. Death did not, and death does not have the final word. That's something to rejoice about. Death did not, for Jesus, have the final word. Death, where is your sting? It was swallowed up in victory. Jesus actually swallowed up death so that death no longer can chew on you, because it's been swallowed up and devoured. It was the last enemy, and Jesus defeated it. And that's why Scripture states that he no longer has any enemies. And if I'm seated in the heavenly Christ, he doesn't have any enemies. Guess what? You don't either. Well, what about the devil? He's defeated. D-ranked, derobed. He's been paraded through the streets as a prisoner of war, and he has no weapons to fight you with. There's nobody in heaven talking bad about you, because the enemy has no access to the Father to make any accusations to the Father about you. Revelation, the 12th chapter. He would only make accusations about your behavior to you to try to get you to doubt who you are. I declare to you, because of the resurrection, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that you are sons and daughters of the King this morning. I have a question for you this morning. But before I ask that question, let me tell you what a revolution is. A revolution is a fundamental change in power. It is a radical change, and it is a complete change. These men and women during the time of Jesus had been doing things the same way for thousands of years, and it was powerless and it was fruitless. That's why Jesus cursed the fig tree on Monday after he had ridden in on a donkey into Jerusalem on Sunday. When he comes back to Jerusalem on Monday, he sees a fig tree in the distance. And when he sees that fig tree, it has leaves on it. So when he goes to examine the tree, the fig tree, he expects that when he inspects it, it will have fruit on it. Because fig trees bear figs. But when he approached the tree, he saw that the fig tree was fruitless. To me, it took me back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, that when Adam and Eve had made the decision to eat from the wrong tree and they found themselves naked and ashamed, that they sewed together fig leaves to try to cover their shame. But let me tell you, that fruitless system of doing it yourself has never worked. And at the end of the law, how many are righteous? None are righteous. So Jesus cursed that fig tree as a symbolic prophetic word that he was completely dismantling that old covenant system that would bear no fruit. And the scripture goes on to say, how will we know them? We will know them by their fruit. And the way that I can tell that you are fruit from the right tree is that you know your identity and that you live as a son. Wow. So the question is, did the resurrection change anything? Yes, a few people believe it. So what are the results then of the resurrection? We have new hope. We have new light. We have new life. There's new joy, 1 Peter 1:3 says. There's a new message. It's a message of the kingdom. It's not a message of if you do this, God will do this, but if you don't do this, God will do this. In other words, it's not a do good, get good message. It's a message that says the kingdom is made up of sons and daughters receiving from the goodness of the Father. It's new power. And everything, everyone living is a new creation because of the resurrection. Amen? And if Jesus is still dead, 1 Corinthians 15:17, then your faith and my faith has no relevance. Because every religion in the world requires the death or the sacrifice of the subjects of that religion. Only Christianity has a king and ruler and leader of its regime and of its kingdom that died for the subjects of that kingdom. That's powerful. But not only is he the only one that ever died for his people, he's the only one that got up again and ever lives right now seated at the right hand of the Father, where you and I are seated with him in the heavenly Christ. Man, that's good. Everything changed because of the resurrection. We have a king who will never die again. That's what the scripture says. Lisa was telling me, what was it in Acts? You're going to tell it? Oh, you were telling me, in Romans, where it says death didn't have the power to hold him. It's in Acts, yeah. It didn't have the power to hold him. He is a king who will never die. We have a co-resurrection with Christ. Colossians 3:1 says that if we died with him, then we also are raised with him. I believe that the resurrection announces to you and to I that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I believe that the resurrection announces that you are righteous and that you are made righteous. That word made is found in Romans 5. I want to camp out here for just a second because I want to show you how powerful that one little word made is. It says in Romans 5 that because of the offense or the disobedience of one man, Adam, all were made, M-A-D-E, sinners. It goes on to say in the same verse that but because of the obedience or the sacrifice of one man, Jesus, many are made, same word, righteous. Isn't it amazing that people will believe that they were made a sinner because what Adam did, but they won't believe that they're made righteous because of what Jesus did? Now, what was more powerful, what Adam did or what Jesus did? I'll take what Jesus, the last Adam, did over what the first Adam did any time of the day, which really makes my mind believe that I'm not born after Adam. That's pre-cross. I'm after Christ. I was born after the last Adam. I was born after Christ. My roots aren't in Judaism. My roots are in Christ. And I'm not being anti-Semitic. I'm just telling you, the kingdom doesn't come by the observation of the things of the old system, those rituals, those washings, those ceremonies. We are made righteous because of what Christ did. Amen. The resurrection is transforming. And it is a reality in every believer who will participate. The kingdom, the resurrection, the resurrected life is a reality right here, right now, for anyone who will believe and will participate in it. Okay, sit up on the edge of your seat and listen to this statement and get locked into it. This is yours to take home with you today. Believer, say, I'm a believer. Believer, you will never be more resurrected than you are right now. Think about it. You will never be more resurrected. I could add to that, you'll never be more saved than you are right now. Can you believe people don't think I'm in church on Easter Sunday morning and they're going to call me? It's probably Jonathan in Oklahoma. They're an hour behind. But you will never be more saved and complete than you are right now. Jesus didn't withhold any good thing from you. When he gave you Jesus, you got all of Jesus. Now we are aware and we gain more knowledge of what we've received as we grow. So we gain more knowledge about our resurrected life, and that's why we're going to continue this series of the revolution into next week as we learn to live the resurrected life, because we gain more knowledge of that resurrection. But his resurrection provided union for us with Christ. Jen, who's playing? Jen, will you come and begin to play, please? Help her, Gary, because that's close there. His resurrection provides for us a union with him. What does that mean? That means we were planted together. You can find scriptures on all of this that I'm telling you right now. We died together with him. We were raised together with him. We were made alive. I'm showing you the union that you have with Christ because of the resurrection. We preached a message 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's on YouTube and our Facebook page. I encourage you to listen to it. We are seated together with him. We are workmen together with him. We live together through him, and we are reigning with him now. See, I believe in a kingdom of God that is in operation right now here on the earth. I believe it has present realities. I'm not taking heaven away from you. I believe in future implications of the kingdom. My mom breathed her last breath here, and she stepped beyond the veil into what we call glory. And it's one dimension away. It's one breath away. You don't die. You continue to live in that next dimension. But we are reigning and ruling with him now. I don't believe we're waiting on a wedding feast. I believe the cork was popped on the bottle of wine of the new covenant in this new marriage that we have with Christ on the day of Pentecost, and he has not stopped pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And we are ruling and reigning with him now through the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. That's how we rule, and that's how we reign together with him. How is that possible? Because of the resurrection. It's a revolution. It changed everything. It revolutionized the way that we think, act, and move as sons in the kingdom. Give me a hearty amen when you hear these words, if you believe it and you want to, so be it. That's what amen means, right? Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Death has been conquered. Amen. And hope is alive. Amen. See, the resurrection was a powerful moment in history that changed everything. But it's also a daily reality that transforms the world around us through the power of Spirit. It's in this revelation that we find the invitation to participate in the revolution. What does that mean? It's an ongoing change. The light and the love that he gave us through his resurrection is the light and the love that we give to others. See, Hebrews 7 says that when there was a change in the priesthood, there was by necessity a change in the law. The priesthood changed. Jesus is our high priest who ever liveth, and so the law has changed. We don't live under the law of commandments and demands. We live under the law of the Spirit in love. Love is our law. Jesus said, Paul said in Romans, if you owe no man nothing but to love them, and thus fulfill the law of God through loving them. So as you stand to your feet this morning, would you contemplate the revolution that is occurring through the resurrection of Christ? It did happen, and it is still happening. And this is it. If you'll participate, you're invited this morning to participate in the revolution. What is that? The fundamental change that was brought about by the resurrection, so that we can go into the world and bring about a fundamental, radical change in the world by showing them the love of God in every aspect of life. I believe there's two groups of people under the sound of my voice right now as we close this service out in prayer. I believe there's a group of people that have just not awakened to the fact or reconciled that they are in right standing with God. I look across the congregation and look at those watching on Facebook Live right now, and I see sons. See sons and daughters of God. Some of you have awakened to that and recognized it, and you're walking in it, and others haven't. It's very simple this morning. The scripture says, if you'll believe in your heart that Christ raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Confessing is just telling someone that you believed in the finished work of the cross this morning. If you bow your heads, and if that's you this morning and you have believed in your heart today that Christ did die for your sins and that he did make you innocent through his resurrection, and you're confessing today that you are a son of God through what Jesus did, would you tell someone before you leave today? Would you tell a friend, a neighbor? It'll help you. It'll encourage you. You're already a son. You're just acknowledging it now. Some of us have been believers for quite some time, and we just need to recommit this morning to the awareness that we are his sons. See, sons have responsibility, and their scripture is full of things that we ought to do as sons. And you're just going to believe this morning that you are renewing your mind to your correct identity, that you are a son, and begin to walk in that resurrected power and resurrected life and participate in the revolution. Jesus, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for operating in our midst through worship, as we minister to you through drama and dance. Thank you for the children that waved their palm branches and reminded us that you are the King. Thank you for the message, the word that has gone forth. We are a part of the revolution that's ongoing in the world today to change, bringing awareness to the fact that you are alive and you are bringing hope to the world. We thank you for that privilege now. In Jesus' name, amen. Lisa has something to share with you before we go quick here this morning. I was going to say you're going to be quick, but I don't know.
He said, you haven't said anything in weeks and weeks. I'm like, it's not been weeks and weeks. No. But anyway, it's Resurrection Day. Every day is Resurrection Day. And a lot of you have come out and... with this play, it was just short and sweet, and three times I cried during it. I mean, how does that happen? We've done it three times in every different part. And, you know, when Justin came out of the tomb, and that's when I went downstairs, because, you know, we sing songs, death cannot hold him, great, all that. Well, that's scriptural, and it's in Acts when Peter was talking, and there's another thing I found, but in Acts 2:24, he's just telling them, he recounted the story, and he said, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. I mean, God had a predetermined plan, and it's just like, oh, you know, you think he's death. Like you said, he swallowed death in victory, but it wasn't possible. When he came out, it's like, how is that possible? Because it's not possible that death would hold him. Yeah. Right? And so then more thoughts came previously, and then all came together. And if you believe that, because without the resurrection, without believing that, we have a dead gospel. It's not a gospel. It's not good news. That's what Christians, we today, are believers in the resurrected Christ. The cross was powerful. It's where we died. It's where he died. But that's not where it ends. It begins with life. You know, he walked out. He came up, and we came up with him. Right? And so... he was incorruptible, indestructible seed, unchangeable. You know, we were going through all of this. And because death had no power, it could not hold him. And if you believe that, you were also born of incorruptible, indestructible seed. So how can, you know, you can think, you know, you've come here today and everything and you're coming back and, you know, I've missed it. No, you were, if you've believed, just like the prodigal, you can be out slopping hogs if you want to choose that way. But I would rather choose to eat at the king's table, right? And because no matter what, you can still be slopping hogs, but you have on the inside of you an indestructible, incorruptible, unchangeable seed of the power of God living in you, right? And so just become aware of that seed that's already in you, that you believe that. And it's by faith, grace through faith. You know, you have to have faith to believe that. And an antonym of unchangeable, it's an unchangeable salvation that lacks absolutely nothing. And the antonym of that would be hamartia, sin, which would be missing the mark. Well, when he is unchangeable, uncorruptible, all these things, we can't mess it up, even when we sin, because he is the opposite of that. He hit the mark for you. It's like a bullseye. And so, I mean, I'm not going to keep going on. I just want you to get into your mind and get into your heart and just believe and just let that marinate in your spirit, that he, what is on the inside of you, death could not hold him because it wasn't possible. You have incorruptible, indestructible, nothing in your power that you can do. It's a free gift. It's a free gift that we've received, and we are sealed by Holy Spirit. So we are walking in the power of his resurrection as a believer. So I just wanted, I don't know if that, I mean, it was powerful to me, so I hope it was to you. And I just wanted to share it, that when you come here today, when you leave, you can go back slopping hogs if you want to, but that's not the abundant life that he wants you to live. He wants you to live the abundant life where you rule and reign right now in this life, Romans says, by the gift of abundance of grace and righteousness and the gifts of righteousness. You now reign with him, and he doesn't want you slopping hogs. He wants you reigning with him. Amen?
She's not only beautiful, she's smart. And it's very attractive. I'm blessed. Is every heart clear? It's okay. Don't forget your children. I know it's been a long time since you have left them in children's church, so don't forget them this morning. Yeah, we'll give them to you. Just make sure you have your slip with you. Thank you for being here. If you need us for...